Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. And this is Easter Sunday. We're celebrating Christ's victory over sin and death and the devil. So there's a little bit more that we get to say to each other. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. Yes. We are celebrating today. I mean, every Sunday is like a little Easter, but this is the time that Christians around the world come together to celebrate that Christ not only died for our sins, but he rose again, conquered sin and death and the devil, and is present and is here with us today. Let's bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. God, thank you for making your presence known to us today. Use the songs that we sing and the prayers we pray, the scriptures we read, and the gathering around the table of our Lord Jesus. Use all of it, God. Even use the Easter eggs in some way, God. Use everything to draw us closer to you, we pray. That's our desire today, that in the midst of a world that brings suffering and death, that you might give us life, that we can find hope in you. Thank you, God, for the chance to bring ourselves to you and all that we are, all that we carry with us into this time, into this place, into this encounter with you. God, we offer it all to you so that your grace can touch every fiber of our being, every aspect of our lives. Thank you, God. We are so grateful for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin to worship today.
I know a name that can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can time I call your name, the Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of. I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you healer. Risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you, I call you Savior. Worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name,
chains break,
dry bones wake. Every time I call your name, the gates of hell shake. Every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones wake. Every time come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. I call you Jesus. I call you, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name. Your life for mine, nailed to the cross, you crucified all my sin and shame. It was washed by your mercy. You are the treasure I find, my reason for living. So let my life become an offering to the one. On the gates of my heart, the veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave, 'cause you bring things to life. You roll stones away, and all praise to the Lord Most High. And all praise to the one who saved my life. All praise. Jesus Christ. the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sins and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the
amen. Amen. I invite you to pray with me, would you? Lord, we are so thankful this morning for this Easter that we celebrate, your resurrection, your coming back to life, Lord, so that we can know salvation. Lord, we are so thankful, so grateful this morning that no matter how wide that chasm was between us and you, the cross could fill it. And could make a way for us to know you, to make a way for us to be redeemed to you and restored to you, Lord. We are so grateful this morning for that very real reminder as we come before you on this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, sometimes it's been hard to really connect this Easter season. So much of life has been happening. So much stuff has been going on. So much we're reading in the news and we're watching in our world and in our communities. And Lord, this morning. We're so thankful for the opportunity to take these moments, to be here together, to be in your presence, and to just stop and focus on who you are and what you've done to us, for us, in us. And Lord, we just want to give you all the praise and the glory this morning that your plan of redemption, your plan of salvation, Lord, was not thwarted by the grave, but in fact was fulfilled through the death of your son, Jesus, and his resurrection 3 days later. What an exciting thing to think. What an exciting thing to sit and ponder, Lord. I don't know that we could ever really grasp the gravity, the depth of all that happened, but Lord, we are certainly going to try this morning and in the days coming. Lord, I thank you for each person that's gathered here with us, for each person that's joined us online and will join us later, Lord. May they hear the word that you have for us today. May they sense the presence here that you've invited us into, Lord, that they would know that they have had an encounter with you this morning. I thank you again for Pastor Rich. I thank you, Lord, for the way he listens to you. And I know I say it often, but Lord, I truly am thankful for that. So be with him this morning. Be with us this morning as we hear from you. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Oh, boy. All right, while people continue to catch up and greet each other, I just want to say hi to those of you joining us online. My name is Rich Schmidt. I'm the pastor, one of the pastors here, and we're so glad that you're able to join us. I know I had some of you texting me this morning. I'm not making it, but I'm watching, so hello. Since we didn't get to shake your hand just now, if you could drop us a comment or something wherever you're watching, YouTube, Facebook, just say, hey, I'm here, and happy Easter, or something like that. We would love that. And if there's something you want to communicate more privately, then you can do that through the link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, and you can send us a little note that way. And now I'll talk to all of us in the room, too. All of us can do that same thing, obviously. If there's some way that you want us to be praying for you or thanking God with you or you have a question, you can use the link. Or since you're here, you can grab one of those little green cards back there by the door and jot your note on it and drop it in the offering box, and then that way we can be praying for you or answering your question. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there as well, or you can give online. All of that works. So it is good to be with you on this Resurrection Sunday. We have just a couple of things I want to announce real quick that are on the back of your little handout there. One is the Global 6K for Water is coming up in May, but this promo code is good through, I was told, April 10th. So if you haven't signed up yet, now is the time. You've got just a few days left before that $15 off promo code goes away. And so go to valpo6k.com. That's the website. valpo6k.com takes you right to our page. And on May 16th, if you want, you can walk with us 5 laps around the park across the street. That's what 6K is. It's the average distance people walk for dirty water in the communities where World Vision works. And we can change that. We can provide clean water right there in their community. So, and then that next... So that's ending this week. All right, these next couple things are for the week after, okay? So April 16th is a Thursday night. That's our next time of getting together with people from other churches here for an evening worship service if you'd like to join us. And then that Saturday, the 25th, is free bikes and tune-ups. They're doing them again. So out in our parking lot, April 25th, we've had some calls. Some of you have asked, when are we doing the bike giveaways again? And Greg and his team will be out there on the 25th from 9 to noon. And that same day at 12:30 is when that group does the monthly free meal here at our church. So if you know someone needs a free meal, maybe a free bike, and stick around for a free meal afterwards. So, and then this Saturday, this is still a week from this Saturday. Okay, all right, we still got a little time. But on the 18th, I know some of you are going to be here for Art Krieger's celebration of life. And so you've got that down there among the things to pray for. If you can continue to pray for Linda and for all of us who love Art and now miss him, If you want to be with us on Saturday the 18th at 11 o'clock and stick around for lunch, that'd be a very good thing. All right. I'm sure there are other things that I could mention, but I want us just to pause again for a brief word of prayer, and then we'll dive into this morning's scriptures. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to do what you did in your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for us. As we remember, as we read through this part of the story about your victory over sin and death and the devil, would you help us to hear what you want to say to us today? You know the noise, God, that buzzes around in our heads. And today I pray that your voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, would maybe just help create some quiet in our souls today so that we can hear you. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we ended last week with this verse that I put right at the top of your notes as we were looking at Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, being hailed as king, but recognizing that by the end of the week, before the week had even passed, that Jesus would be doing exactly what he'd said he would do in Matthew chapter 20, where he said, the Son of Man, referring to himself, did not come to be served, like most kings, show up. Everyone serve me, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. On that Friday that we call good now, Jesus was executed by the Roman Empire, hung on a cross until he died. And from that cross, instead of calling down judgment on those who had put him there, he calls out for forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize just how ugly sin is. They don't realize that they're still enslaved to it, and he is dying on that cross to set us free. But they don't realize that. They don't realize that. They don't know what's going on. And his disciples didn't even realize that. It's amazing to me, and it's one reason that we know we can trust these stories that we have from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the letters that we have in our New Testament from Paul and the others, James, Jesus' brother, has a letter in there. One reason we know we can trust these accounts, besides the fact that like they're the best attested ancient documents that we have from that time period. I mean, there are all kinds of, sorry, that's another message. One reason that we can trust these accounts is because the people who wrote them didn't make themselves look good, all right? Have you ever told a story and made yourself out to be like the villain? Generally, we don't do that, do we? If there's a problem, if people are butting heads, and we see this in our house, our boys are 10, they butt heads, right? And other body parts. When they come running, it's about what their brother did, right? And they are the innocent victim. we do that. That's the way we tell stories. These guys didn't do that. They tell the story of how Jesus tried over and over again to let them know, hey guys, we're headed to Jerusalem, I'm going to give my life, and then I'm going to rise again. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again, and they just don't get it. I don't know if they just thought it was a metaphor or something. This must be another parable. He's not going to die. He's the king. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. There's no way he's not going to lose. Rome's going to lose. We can't wait for him to get there and tell them what's up. And instead, he dies, and they see it. They see him breathe his last breath. They see his body taken down from the cross. They see it buried in a tomb. They know where his body lays. And for the weekend, they're just stunned. It says a little bit later that they're like hiding behind locked doors. They're afraid they might be next for Rome to come after them. But still, because his execution had taken place on a Friday, and Friday night was coming, which is the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, and they're all observant Jews, they weren't able to do all the burial preparation stuff that was needed. And so now that the Sabbath is over, it says early on Sunday morning, that's where we pick up the story here in John chapter 20. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. It's a little bit different the way they buried people than Jewish people. They would put your body in kind of a cave for a period of time until they didn't embalm you, okay? So your body would kind of rot away, until all that was left was bones. And then they would come and collect the bones, wash them, put them in what they call an ossuary. It's a bone box. And then they would bury that. And so Jesus is put in the cave. They're waiting for his body to decay. But in order for that not to be the most unpleasant thing in the world, there were like spices and fragrances you would put on the body so that if people came to grieve, they wouldn't just be hit with the smell of you in there. And so Mary shows up to do that, and the stone is rolled away. The tomb is open. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, who we think is the one that writes John's gospel, so you can call him John if you want to. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. She wasn't expecting, she was with the disciples. She had heard all the same things the disciples, she was one of his followers. She had heard Jesus say, I'm going to die and rise again, but the first thing she thinks, someone stole the body. She doesn't think, she doesn't come back saying, it's true, he's alive, right? She comes back saying, they've moved him, and we don't know where. Peter and the other disciples start out for the tomb, because again, they know where it is. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first. So I guess he did write himself in as kind of a little bit of a hero. You know, he's like, I have the feeling that Peter, if he ever came across this, was like, seriously, John, you had to write that in. Okay. Yes, you outran me. We've heard it already. Okay. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there that they would have wrapped Jesus' body in, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who'd reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. It says he believed. Doesn't say if Peter did or not, but he's the one writing it, so he's able to say, that's the moment that I started to realize, oh, he meant it. He meant this literally. He really was rising from the dead. Now, one thing I love about this part of the story is that they go to investigate. They go to find out what's going on. Every time we do our Christmas Eve service, that part of the story where the shepherds have the chance to like go and see if this thing is true that the angels have told us about, that's one thing I always encourage everyone who shows up at Christmas to do. Go, investigate. You hear this good news about Jesus, look into it, see if it's true. And I kind of feel the same thing happening here. Like something's happened with Jesus' body and they're going to go find out more. And that's what, if you're on a journey of investigation, if for you faith is like something like, I don't know about this whole Jesus thing, if you're investigating, that's a good thing. I mean, if you're here, you know, that's a good thing. If you're watching online, that's a good thing. You're like checking it out. You're saying, there might be something here. I'm not sold yet. And that's okay. You're on the right track. Right, we're going to see somebody else here at the end of the chapter who you might find yourself feeling some sympathy for, some connection with. But first, Mary, it says, was standing outside the tomb crying. So evidently she came back when Peter and John went running. She was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. Again, she has no idea. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? Have you ever had that happen to you where you see someone and you're not expecting to see them and it's in a different context? I feel terrible. If I ever bump into you out in the community and you say, hey, Pastor Rich, and it takes me a second and you can kind of see my, you know, Rolodex, good grief, my contacts, whatever. If you see it kind of spinning, I'm like, oh, okay, what do I know? It's because we're out of context, not Sunday. I'm thinking about something else. I apologize. My sincerest apologies. I feel like that's happening to her. She's imagining Jesus dead. So here's someone standing, talking to her. She's not expecting this is Jesus. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener, says. Sir, she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him. Mary, Jesus said. Then she turned to him. It's like she wasn't even looking at him, you know. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, like rabbi. It actually means like my teacher. That little weird ending is the my part. My teacher. And then he says, don't cling to me. Now, one of the other gospels is there telling the resurrection story, mentions other women there with her, and that they were all like clinging to his feet. Like they bowed down. They're so excited to see him. And Jesus says, don't cling to me. for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. And she gave them his message. I got to pause for a second here. My apologies if this seems weird. But that whole don't cling to me thing, for some reason this past week, dots started to connect, and maybe it's crazy. Maybe it's like the guy with the red yarn connecting things on his bulletin board. I don't know, but maybe you don't see the same connection I will, all right? But I'm with this cohort of other pastors, and we're reading this book that's talking about the times that we live in and how the church is supposed to live in this time that kind of societal upheaval, I guess you could use that word. They call it the great unraveling in this book. The people who are looking at what's going on in the world, because as they said, the story that we've been living in for the last 75 plus years is starting to fray at the edges, and not just fray, but starting to come apart. This idea of the certain institutions we thought we could trust, and over the past several decades, we've realized, nope, can't trust them, nope, can't trust them. And maybe for you, that's been the church, has been one of those institutions, and it's a big step for you just to be here today or to be watching today. And the things that we thought were certain are shifting. And suddenly we don't trust the authorities, the experts. We're not sure where solid ground is. Things are kind of coming apart. And that's true in churches as well. We find things going sideways sometimes, not the way we expected. We're kind of doing all the same things and not getting the same results. And that's because things are changing. The world is changing. And one of the things they were saying in this book, and as we're talking with this person on these Zoom chat things, the author, is that we have this tendency then to try to, like part of the story we've lived in is that we can control things. That if we just work hard enough, if we just get the right degree or the right expertise, then we can control it, we can manage it, we can lead our way through this thing, and we know what to do. We just got to learn the next technique so that we can control and get through this rough patch. And their suggestion is that if we're going to make it through, we've got to let go of that desire for control and let God be in charge. Let him be the primary agent, the primary actor in our world story. Because we know that if everything else comes undone, God is still faithful. God is still present and at work in our lives. And many of you, I've talked to some of you just recently who are like saying similar things to me. I had one of you say to me not too long ago, it feels like everything I'd lived was just a lie. And walked through different circumstances in your life where, like, you believed in marriage and then marriage fell apart. You believed in, and it fell apart. And just kind of went through all the different things in your life that have let you down. But God remains faithful. And so I was just thinking when I was coming to this don't cling to me that, like, there's this part of us that, we have this encounter with Jesus. Even the risen Jesus, we're like, okay, Jesus, you're alive. Great, fantastic. And we come to faith in Christ. We put our trust in him. He forgives our sins, and we're going through life. And then, I guess it's a little bit like last week. We're talking about how we're fine with Jesus being king as long as he leads us where we want to go. And so we grab a hold of Jesus, and we cling to him. We're like, okay, Jesus, now that I've got you, I need you to bless me, or I need you to help me. I need you to heal me. I need you to do this for me. And we're still trying to control things as if we're the ones in charge. And this whole story of resurrection reminds us that, oh man, we are not in charge. We couldn't have raised Jesus from the dead. We couldn't have undone our sin of putting to death the Son of God. That was not within our power to do. Just like it's not within our power to correct all the mistakes that we've made here in this life. We can do our best to make restitution. We can apologize. We can go to the people we've harmed. We can do our best to make things right. But ultimately, we can't control how they respond. We can't control the world around us. Our illusions of control sometimes bump into the realities of life in ways that are unsettling. And this has been, again, there's some red string, I think, connecting these thoughts in my head. This don't cling to me is kind of Jesus' way of saying, look, you gotta let go. It's okay. You can't control everything, but you can trust me. I'm here. I'm with you. You don't have to try to be in charge of it all. Now, I understand that for some of us in the room, it's the exact opposite. You feel like you're in control of nothing. You feel like the whole world is chaos. Everything is slipping sideways. And for those of us in that place, we just need to hear again, look, death doesn't get the final say. Sin doesn't get the final say. Chaos doesn't reign. Jesus is alive and present and at work. He has defeated death. He's defeated the devil. And we can trust him. So for both of us, we have to understand, yep, we're not in control. There are some things we can do, and we're responsible to respond in healthy ways, in positive ways, to say yes to Jesus as he leads us through life. But ultimately, we're not in charge. God is the one writing the story. God is the one in charge, and we get to trust him and to partner with him in the writing of the story going forward. All right, enough of my red yarn. Continue the story. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. In case there was any confusion, it's really me. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you." I feel like he's having to calm them down. Okay, guys, it's okay. It's all right. Peace be with you. "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." He's saying, guys, this story is going to continue through you, all right? The Holy Spirit that's guided me through my ministry is now going to guide you once I leave. And you have a huge responsibility to let people know forgiveness is possible. That, as the Apostle Paul says in one of his letters, that to let people know that God is no longer counting people's sins against them. To let them know that forgiveness is here, is available now. And so if you extend forgiveness, they'll receive forgiveness. If you withhold that, they're not going to know. He says, I'm sending you just like the Father sent me. Now, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." He's like saying, you saw somebody, sure, but I don't think it was Jesus. Maybe it looked like him. Maybe you know, it's wishful thinking or something. And this is one of those theories that people have had over the years, people who try to say, nah, I don't think Jesus really rose from the dead. Sure, he was a teacher, maybe even a healer, but, you know, he died, and people don't come back from that. And so maybe somebody stole the body and the disciples made up a story. Maybe they saw somebody they thought. Maybe they had like a mass hallucination and they thought they saw Jesus, but he wasn't really there. Which is why sometimes in the stories they say, and he ate a fish sandwich with him to let him know he wasn't a ghost, you know. He's doing his best to help them understand, look, it's really me. I'm really here. And Thomas says, I mean, that's logical, right? I mean, that makes sense. People don't generally come back from death. That's not how life works. And so Thomas is just being rational here. He's like, look, unless I see those nail wounds and touch them, unless I see and touch that wound in his side where they put a spear in his side to make sure he was really dead before they took his body off the cross, I'm not going to believe it. 8 days later, their way of saying a week later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said, which he probably had to say that a lot. Anytime he just popped into a locked room without using the door, probably was like, sorry, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side." He's like, "I know. I heard you. It's okay." He says, "Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And Thomas doesn't say, he said, "Oh, okay," and touched him. He realized he was face to face with, well, he calls him my Lord and my God. Which again is this recognition. This man was so much more than a man, more than a prophet. He says, this is God in the flesh right before me. The accounts of the eyewitnesses that walked and talked with Jesus that we have recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you have questions about that whole thing, the reliability of the scriptures, let me know. I'd be happy to connect you with some resources and talk with you about that. But the people who were there, they didn't have any doubts. This is more than just a man. People who walked with him, talked with him, who saw him die and saw him come back again, they said, this is God in a body. This is God with us. And so if you've had Jesus, maybe if one way you've controlled Jesus is just by kind of, you know, fitting him into a box of like, oh, he's just one of many good teachers that we've had over the years, you know, and he's got good stuff to listen to, and maybe you'll even kind of pattern your life after him, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. Listen to Jesus, follow him, but obey his teachings. But part of following him, as you do that, you're going to come across things like this that you have to do something with. And Thomas, who is just being rational, says, this goes beyond anything I can make sense of. This, you are alive again, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed, he thinks of you, thinks of me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. He says, there's a time coming where people are just going to be taking your word for it. Where people are going to be hearing this story. And he pronounces blessing on those who are willing to take that chance and say, you know what? I think this might be true. People who are willing to reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you're there, if it's true, if you're alive, then please show yourself to me. Please, I want to know it. If this is true, that you gave your life as a ransom for mine. If this is true that, well, what's that most famous verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but receive eternal life. So if this is true, that you're trying to rescue me from my perishing, from my death, if you're trying to rescue me from my sin, if this is true that you have conquered sin and death and the devil by your death and resurrection, then I need that. I need hope. I need life. I need forgiveness. I need you. He says, blessed are those who believe without seeing me, without getting all their questions answered. And it truly is a blessing. He really does. He blesses us when we reach out to him in that way. It says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written. He said, I picked these so that you may continue to believe. Because he knows no one's listening to this unless they believe, at least on some level. So you can continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. That's what Jesus wants for us. It's what these earliest followers of him had found in him. They had found life, and so they wanted to share that life. They wanted others to experience that life that comes when we put our trust in Jesus, the one who has conquered sin, has conquered death to set us free. We're not in control of it. We can't make things happen. And just like you can't make yourself believe something, I'm not here saying just make yourself believe it. That's not how it works. But maybe take a step. Maybe investigate. Maybe even reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to believe. I'd like to know if this is true. I want to believe it. I want to believe the truth. So please, help me to know the truth. Or maybe you're past that point. Maybe today you're there, you're ready. You're saying, like, look, if this is real, I'm convinced it is. Jesus has done too much in my life. God has rescued me from too much. He's done too much for me. I can't believe that those things just happened. Those aren't just coincidences. God has been present and at work in my life, and I believe it. Then maybe today is the day that you say, you finally just put your trust in him and say, okay, Jesus, I trust you. In fact, let me pray for us. And if you're in that place, maybe you want to bow your heads, close your eyes, however it is you want to talk to God today. And if you're in that place, maybe you just want to pray a prayer like this one, quietly in your own heart while I'm praying it out loud. Jesus, I want to believe this. I want to believe that the God who made me loves me and is with me right now. Today, I am choosing to put my trust in you. You gave your life for me so you can have my life in return. Forgive my sins. Change my heart. Help me to trust and follow you. Jesus, you said that when when ordinary, messed up people like us, when we put our trust in you, that you actually do forgive us. When we confess our sins, the Bible says, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the truth, God, that apart from you, we've all messed this thing up. Jesus is why you came, because we were sick and we needed a healer. We were broken. We needed you to put us back together. We were stumbling through the dark and we needed your light to show us the way back to a heavenly Father who loves us so deeply. Thank you, God. Thank you for this Easter Sunday morning where we celebrate the resurrection, your victory over sin and death and the devil. You know that for some of us, there's some stuff that's really been holding us back. Some stuff that today we really just need to let go of. We need to be set free of. And God, today I pray that you would help us to look to you for that freedom, for that forgiveness, for that mercy, for that grace. Thank you, God. Thank you that out of love for us, you sent your son, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that out of love for us, you held nothing back, but you gave all of yourself for us. It's what we celebrate this weekend. And we celebrate in a tangible way in this sacrament of Holy Communion that you have given us. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body, in his blood. Jesus, you, with your disciples, you took that bread and broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. When you eat this, do it in remembrance of me. You took the cup and said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. And so today, Lord Jesus, as we approach your table, we do so as people who remember your great love and the sacrifice you made, giving your life as a ransom, not just for many, but for us. For our sins, to set us free from our slavery to sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we confess, as we repent, as we turn from our sin, you are so ready to forgive. Throughout the scriptures, you described yourself as the God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to get angry, abounding in faithful love. Eager to forgive. Thank you, God. Thank you that today we can experience that forgiveness. Thank you that today we can be assured of that grace. We are so grateful, God. We pray that as we open our hearts, our minds, our lives to you, that you, Jesus, just like you breathed on your disciples, that you would breathe on us today, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we might be changed from the inside out, living in this world as new people, as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, your sons and daughters. Thank you, God. Thank you for the victory you have won and shared with us today. Thank you for this beloved disciple who wrote it down so that we might believe and so that we might have life. Thank you. We pray all this confident in your love because you've shown it to us in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. And I think all the parents know, right, that your kids are rejoining us now so that they can celebrate communion with us on Easter Sunday. So they're finding you. They're finding you. Yes. Okay. I think all the kids have found their parents. That's good. All right. As we sing, the way we do communion here, if you've not been with us before, is as we sing, I'm going to be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And you're invited to come forward as you're ready. Take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it and return to your seats. We've got some pieces of pita bread and some round gluten-free wafers, or there's the little cups that you can take back to your seat if you'd prefer. Peel it back to get to the bread, peel it back to get to the juice. And some of you already picked those up from the basket on your way in. We do all this because we want everybody to have a chance to participate, to receive in a way that we can know that God's grace touches us right here, right where we live. So let's sing and let's celebrate.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw through the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died. Praise the Father. The stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of those who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father.
Forever to
the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise forever to the King of Kings. Thank you, God, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that as we leave this place, as we go back into a world that sometimes feels so chaotic, may we go knowing the presence of our risen Lord goes with us, goes before us, comes behind us, that you have won, knowing that you have won the victory over sin and death and the devil, and that you share that victory with us today. We are so grateful for your abundant goodness, for the grace that you've shown to each one of us. Thank you for the ways that you fill us with your grace, with your hope, with your life, with your love, so that we can share it with the people you send us to. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you with kids, in about 8 minutes, we're going to have a little Easter egg hunt out there. I'm told you have to watch out for some puddles in there. Do they need to go back with you to get things in the kids' room? Okay. But first, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.